Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. The highly acclaimed fiction book for children, The Amazing Scientific Adventures of Harvey, A Brilliant Cane by Dr. Sheldon Weinbaum, offers a fun look at science and space through the eyes of a talking cane. One reviewer saying, by blending together the perfect mix of scientific facts and fantasy, this thought-provoking book will spark curiosity and wonder in all the budding middle-grade scientists who venture into the fascinating world of Harvey the Brilliant Cane. Harvey's engrossing and inspiring story teaches and entertains on every page. Sheldon Weinbaum is a grandfather and a scientist, one of only a handful of living individuals who is a member of all three U.S. National Academies, Science, Engineering, and Medicine, and also the American Academy of Arts and Sciences. He is a City University of New York Distinguished Professor of Biomedical Engineering and has taught at the City College of New York for 50 years. Also chair of the committee that gives the annual Sloan Awards to the outstanding math and science teachers in the New York City Public High Schools. A 2020 recipient of the White House Presidential Award for Excellence in Science, Math, and Engineering Mentoring for students from underrepresented groups. A distinguished career known for his contributions to science, engineering, and diversity. Recipient of numerous awards. And now, credited with forging a revolution in children's literature with The Amazing Scientific Adventures of Harvey, A Brilliant Cane. Our pleasure to welcome to This Week in America, Dr. Sheldon Weinbaum. Doctor, welcome to the program. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
It's a real pleasure for me, too. And this is the first time I have done something quite like this, especially in the area of children's books.
You know, this is amazing. You've written hundreds of scientific articles in some of the most prestigious scientific publications around the world. You've written research articles. The first children's book, what inspired you to write a science book for middle school children?
Well, I have three wonderful grandchildren, one a girl and two guys. And at the time I wrote this book, they varied in age from 7 to 11, which was perfect for middle school. And the other thing about it, I've always loved telling stories to children that were make-up stories, fantasies. This wanted to be different because I was trained really as an aerophysicist, and I know that physics is usually put in the last years of high school, the last course in the science curriculum.
Yes.
It didn't have to be anything like this because children have very fertile imaginations. And the main thing about science is asking curious and inquisitive questions. And that's what this book is about. How do you probe what the things that you see and ask the questions that will lead to answers and explanations.
This book is so well done. The book is The Amazing Scientific Adventures of Harvey, A Brilliant Cane by Sheldon Weinbaum. You'll find the book at Amazon, the usual places. Link on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. This book is different. Explain how this is different from other science books in this age group.
Well, most books that are in science that are written for middle school kids are how-to books. How do you build this? They explain, they could talk about, you know, the planets, but it's not an approach which was taken here. What was taken here was to look first at things that children actually do and are not, don't have obvious explanations, and how you go about being the scientist, being the person who can settle these questions. Children are very fascinating in that sense. They have vivid imaginations. I'll give you just two examples. When my kids were in nursery school, there was a little girl that was just, I think, about 5 years old, and she was afraid to get on an airplane because she feared growing smaller, which is how the plane looked when it was flying up in the sky. So this is a child's imagination. My own son always wondered When he went on escalators, what happened when the basement filled up with the stairs? So children have very, they're wonderful to talk with. And the Kane Harvey became like a substitute for my grandchildren.
That's interesting. With the grandkids, you sort of had your own little focus group, didn't you? As you were sort of listening, watching their faces, observing their reactions as you were telling the stories. Did Harvey come about as a story that you were telling your grandkids, or did this evolve at a later time?
How that evolved was really accidentally. I started about 3 years ago using a cane when I was no longer really that ambulatory. And we went to Seattle, and my granddaughter was loved dancing with the cane. She was doing a routine from the chorus line. She swung the cane and it fell in the water. And she came running in. We were having breakfast at the restaurant, and she told me, "Harvey's drowning." That was the name of the cane. And we went out and had to get the groundskeeper. And sure enough, the cane was lying at the bottom of the water under the dock there. And how could a cherry wood cane actually sink? Everybody knows wood floats. So it starts out like that with an observation which was contrary to what you would expect. And the story then evolves into looking and asking questions, and how do you explore things that you aren't immediately obvious.
You know, this book is a delight for middle school children, and I'll tell you, adults as well. I love Harvey, a little bit of moxie in his personality. Honestly, if I ever need a cane, I want to borrow Harvey from you. Talk about developing the character, because it is a character. We really fall in love with Harvey.
Well, my grandchildren have a lot of moxie, and by moxie, I mean whatever the difficulties are, you persevere until you can figure out what to do. And the cane itself is something like that. Of course, the cane is always helping me, and it's ever present. I didn't go any place without the cane. There's a movie called Castaways with Tom Hanks.
Oh, sure.
I don't know.
Yes.
And he fell in love with a ball that he was talking to all the time. So I have Harvey as my present conversant in this story. And so the story sort of evolves from there of how Harvey's going to find out why he can't float. That was the first mystery. And he has bad dreams about Harvey. We have to take him to a therapist to conquer his fears of drowning, and which is something that I had too, because I don't float very easily, but for a different reason.
You know, it's so fascinating. Our guest on the program is Dr. Sheldon Weinbaum. That's Weibaum. The book is The Amazing Scientific Adventures of Harvey, a Brilliant Cane. You'll find the book at Amazon, all of the usual places. You've talked about the origin of Harvey, where that came from. Are there other events in the book that actually happened?
Well, almost all the events in the book actually happened. We talk about being at an airport where the flights are canceled, and I have to go to an expensive hotel with Harvey. And when they see me there with the cane, they said, for people with disabilities, we have a special rate of only one-third the regular rate. And I'm talking to Harvey, actually, while this is going on. And Harvey is like my... just like my grandchild,
yes.
One of the grandchildren. So that's the way, things had evolved. We had another thing that happened. This actually happened after they announced that the flights were canceled. There were several thousand people waiting online to get a taxi, to get to a hotel. And Harvey talks to me, said, you go to the head of the line since you have a disability. And this is actually what happened. The taxi guy who was arranging for the, you know, for the pickups sees I have a cane and he brings me to the front of the line and everybody else is, you know, waiting there.
Yes.
So all these events actually happen. Going to the Kinetic Science Museum, all those, the events are really true events. And of course, the book ends with a really very fascinating scientific story about a new kind of high-speed train.
That's chapters. It's just such an amazing read for middle schoolers as well as, yes, us adults who will enjoy it and learn something as well. The Amazing Scientific Adventures of Harvey, A Brilliant Cane by Sheldon Weinbaum, our guest on the program. Let's go back to this whole wooden cane thing. How did this wooden cane drown? As you said, everybody knows that wood floats. So explain that to me.
Okay. There are only two woods that are heavier than water, more dense. One is ebony and the other is ironwood. And Harvey, as a cherry wood cane, has basically the same density as oak wood. It's only about 80% as dense as water, so it should float. But what we eventually figured out to do was that we would go to a hospital, have Harvey x-rayed, and see if there was something really different about him. Because human beings, one of the reasons we have difficulty floating is that our bones. Our bones are about 1.5 times as heavy as the rest of us. And if we didn't have lungs, we would never float. So the same thing happened. And this actually wasn't done, but it's described in the story. We go to Mount Sinai School of Medicine. I have my colleagues take x-rays of the cane. And lo and behold, we find that in the center of the wood, it has a spine, and therefore it can float. One of the things that just happened this week is that a good friend of mine, who had to have a metal implant in her spine, had been an excellent swimmer. And now, with this metal implant in her, she can no longer float. So this was a real life story that just happened recently.
Yes.
With our dear friends.
You know, you chose to illustrate the laws of Isaac Newton, Archimedes in particular. How did you decide to focus on these two?
Okay. Well, Isaac Newton has been a favorite of mine since I was a child. One of the things that really fascinated me was why I would have different weights on different planets or the moon. In fact, almost every child knows that if you're on the moon, you're only about 1/6 as heavy as you are on Earth, and you could leap up in the air a height of 5 feet without too much difficulty. So having grown up in New York and going to the planetarium, this is one of the things that really fascinated me as a child. Your mass doesn't change when you go to the moon, but its gravitational pull on you is much smaller. And we talk about Newton's law, about what you would weigh on Jupiter, what you would weigh on the moon, different planets there, just like I had experienced as a child when I went to the planetarium.
It's just fascinating how you've taken that and incorporated all of these thoughts in The Amazing Scientific Adventures of Harvey, A Brilliant Cane. Sheldon Weinbaum, the author and our guest on the program. Well, let's talk about this is fascinating. Can you really build a train that skis on feathers as fast as an airplane?
The answer to this is indeed yes. And this was rather an amazing discovery that I made myself. The story started about 20 years ago. What I had was very, I wrote a scientific article, which was called The Science of Skiing from Red Cells to Human Being. And of course, red cells are minute. You have 20 trillion red cells in your body. And yet it observes the same rules as what would happen when a human skis. So let me just take 1 minute to explain that.
Yes.
Your red cells do not have a nucleus. They can flip over and they can take the shape of a bullet when they go through capillaries. They're about 8 microns in diameter, and they have to roll up to go through capillaries that are only 5 microns. You would think there would be a great deal of friction. The heart would do a tremendous amount of work to push all these red cells through your capillaries. And the reason it doesn't happen is that there's a very thin coating on all your blood vessels. It's called the glycocalyx. It's only about a half a micron thick, and it's a soft fiber layer that's filled with water. And if the red cells move fast enough, they never scrape, but they're actually skiing on the glycocalyx.
Fascinating.
Well, when I thought about this, then I thought about humans going skiing. And I went up to Hunter Mountain, and I hired a ski instructor who skied down a mountain after about a 1 foot snowfall. And then she stepped in her tracks that she had just made, and she would sink another 50% into the snow. And I realized that she was skiing on the air that was trapped in the snow. But human beings are not as efficient as red cells, because the red cells are completely enveloped. So if I could put a ski in a channel, which was just slightly smaller than wider than the width of the ski, and I put a fiber fill layer there, could be maybe, 10 inches thick, you would be trapping the air under the ski. And if you move fast enough, you would actually be skiing on the air that is trapped in the fibers. Well, the amazing thing is, if you go faster than about 10 miles an hour and had a ski like this, you would be able to support a train with 200 passengers.
Wow.
And it would completely support your weight, because the only place the air could escape would be at the front and the back of the skis. If there was close tolerance between the ski and the sidewalls of the channel. Well, this paper was then subsequently appeared in a very famous physics journal. It was covered by radio stations actually all over the world, even in Europe, Australia, and it was called, it was sort of an imaginary thing. And I went to Boeing afterwards to try to get them to look into building this new kind of train track that could support, a train that was basically a jet ski and would take off, not like an airplane at 150 miles an hour, but at 10 miles an hour.
Wow.
And unfortunately, the United States is very backward in high-speed rail, as
yes.
You know.
Yep.
And I haven't been able to raise the money. I would need several million dollars to actually make a prprototype of this, with a small car, maybe a ski the size of a toboggan, and show that this is indeed possible.
Well, that would be revolutionary, wouldn't it? I mean, this would change
transportation. Change basically, high-speed rail all over the world if we could do something like that. It was supported by the National Science Foundation. And with that initial money, we built a small prototype in the basement of our science building using a ski that was only about 1.5 meters long and maybe 10 centimeters wide. But the idea is really possible, and hopefully, I hope one day this will come a reality.
Well, you've laid the foundation for that. And I'm thinking as you're talking, well, I wish I had you as a science teacher in middle school. It's just fascinating the way you explain that. It's fully understandable. I love your inquisitive nature and actually researching and getting answers. But time going by so quickly, The Amazing Scientific Adventures of Harvey, a Brilliant Cane by Sheldon Weinbaum. What is the reaction from children? Are you hearing from children, young people, because you're taking science, you're taking this fantasy they have, the facts, you're melting it all together with a delightful story, and they're learning something besides being entertained. What's the response from children?
I've gotten, unfortunately, I broke my femur shortly after this book came out, and I never got to publicize it. But it was widely distributed by my own PhD students. And so I have gotten comments from one of my former students, a woman who's now a full professor up at University of Toronto. Her son wrote to me a lovely letter, and he said, I had never realized that my mother had such a cool mentor.
What a compliment. What a compliment. And that's so true. You know, the book, and hopefully it will be out there and people will be reading it. How would you like to see this used in schools? You're an educator. This book is, I hate to say educational because it's so entertaining as well. How would you like to see this being used in schools?
I have never seen a children's science textbook that's similar to this one. And it has two qualities to it that make it truly different. One is that the hero in the story, Harvey, is an emotional person. He had with great moxie, as you pointed out.
Yes.
So this could be read just as a relationship between a grandfather and a younger child. Or it could be read by someone who's 12 years old, who could understand even a little bit of the mathematics that were put in this story, for example, about Newton's laws, to figure out how much you would weigh in different planets. So this is a kind of book that I haven't seen before. In fact, I do think it's really unique.
It really is. And what, a minute or so left. Are you working on something else? You've got this great scientific mind, acknowledged worldwide, this ability to tell stories. Are you working on another children's science book?
Well, I had to see first that this one would be successful. And to tell you the truth, this is the first time this book is being widely publicized. And so after I see what happens from the feedback I get from being just on this program, I think I'll have a better insight to that. But in reality, I am a very unusual scientist in that I'm a physicist, a cell biologist, and an applied mathematician. And for that reason, I can wander between the physical and biological sciences easily, just like I told you the story of red cells and train. And that is something that I would love to be able to see taught in schools to young children who have the imagination to absorb the ideas and look at things that are interfaces between the biological and the physical sciences. And there are two areas that I work very heavily in now. One is on the largest cause of cardiovascular death, which is vulnerable plaque rupture, and that's a fascinating story. Another one is how your bones sense mechanical forces. If you're an astronaut, you go up in space, and in a month, you would lose a large part of your bone density.
Yes.
So these is other aspects. If I wrote a second book, It probably would be in the biological sciences.
Well, you've got a talent for taking that, explaining it, and getting the message out there in a very entertaining and informative way. We could spend hours talking about your brilliant career, and it's such a privilege to have you on the program. It's Dr. Sheldon Weinbaum, Weinbaum. The book is The Amazing Scientific Adventures of Harvey, a Brilliant Cane. Dr. Weinbaum, thank you for being with us on the program. Hopefully we can do this again. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
It's been our pleasure. It has been a lot of fun having you with us. The Amazing Scientific Adventures of Harvey, a Brilliant Cane by Sheldon Weinbaum. You'll find the book available at Amazon, all the usual places. Information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And back after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.